I want to read you a Gemara in Brachas. I'll find it when I learn Brachas. Okay. I'm going to go looking for the pasuk now. Amar Reb Shmuel by Nachmeni Amar Reb Yonason. Afnun Hay Amid Aleph, about two thirds the way down. Amar Reb Shmuel by Nachmeni Amar Reb Yonason. Betzalel. Why was he called Betzalel? Al Shem Chachmasai Nikra. He's called Betzalel because he was such a Chacham. B'shash Amar Kosh Baruch Hu B'Moshe. When Kosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, Lech Emorgo Rebzalel, Asli Mishkan V'Aron V'Kelem. Kosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, make a Mishkan, Aron, and Kelem. Okay? Everyone got the Seder? Mishkan, Aron, Kelem. Halach Moshe. Moshe went v'hafach. And Moshe changed it. V'amalo, and Moshe said to Bezalel, I say Aron, v'kelem, v'mishkan. Moshe said to Bezalel, make a Aron, Kelem, and Mishkan. So what was changed? What was changed? What did Moshe what was changed? Mishkan was supposed to be first, and Moshe said Mishkan last. Okay, it was supposed to be Aron Kelem. It was supposed to be Mishkan Aron Kelem, and Moshe said Aron Kelem Mishkan. Amalei, Moshe Rabbeinu. Mitzal said Moshe Rabbeinu, min hogash olam. The meaning of the world is Adam Bona Bias, you build a house, and then you bring the furniture in. You build a house, and then you bring the furniture in. Vata Omer, and you say, Aseri Aron Vikalim, make Aron Vikalim Umishkan? And you said, make Aron Kalim in Mishkan? Kalim Shani Osa, the Kalim that I'm going to make, Lechon Achnisam. Where am I going to put them into? What am I going to do with them? Where am I going to put them? So Moshe, so Bezalel said to Moshe, you're telling me Aron Kelem Mishkan, that doesn't make sense. It has to be Mishkan Aron Kelem. Because if you make Aron and Kelem, then the Mishkan, where are you going to put the Aron and Kelem? Where are you going to be sitting around until you build the Mishkan? Shemakach Amucha Kosh Baruch Hu? Maybe you, it's hard to say this. Maybe this is what Hashem told you. I say Mishkan Aron Kelem. Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe Hashem said Mishkan Kelem to you. Well, you know, like it sounds very bad. I mean, you know, Bali Musa talk about this Gemara forever. That what was Moshe doing? How did Moshe change what Hashem said? And then Bezalel told him, Moshe, maybe you misheard Hashem. You know, like suddenly Moshe misheard Hashem. After the whole Torah and after everything, suddenly Moshe misheard Hashem. And even using the words Moshe mishearing Hashem is the biggest type of curses in the world, right? But that's what Bezalel told him. Armalo. Shem Tzel Kel Hayisa Viadata. Oh, I'm calling you Bezalel. You were Tzel Kel. You know really what Hashem said. Hashem really said what you mean. So what happened here? I mean, I don't want to go into that. But basically, there's two pesukim about it. There's a pesuk in Truma, and there's a pesuk in Vayakel. And Moshe thought that the pesuk in Truma is the right one, and Bezalel thought the other pesuk was the right one. It came out the one Bezalel thought was the right one. Okay. But that was Bezalel's taina on Moshe. Bezalel's taina on Moshe was, how could you make Kelim before the Mishkan? Where are you going to put the Kelim? Moshe said, you're right. Frek de Velt, which I'm asking you now, a very, very hard question. Chanukah, right? Well, what happened on Chanukah? Okay. They finished building the Mishkan on Chanukah. They finished building the Mishkan on Chanukah. They finished building everything they needed for Mishkan on Chanukah. When did they build the Mishkan? When did they build the Mishkan? What? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They built the Mishkan. So even according to Bezalel, Bezalel himself built the Kelim first without a Mishkan. Because when was the Mishkan built? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. When did they build the Kelim? In Kislev. So what's this whole Gemara about? This argument between Bezalel and Moshe, and Bezalel says to Moshe, how could you build the Kelim before the Mishkan? And then it says Bezalel built the Mishkan before the Kelim, but they didn't. The Kelim were built before the Mishkan. So what's this called Gemara about? That's my question to you. It's a hard question.
Is part of the Kelim being stopped?
What?
The Kelim being stopped?
Yeah, finished on Hanukkah.
Where's the Gemara?
What? Nun Hei Amid Aleph in Brachos. Very hard question. Very. But it's a good one. Eitan, you got to work on that one.
Yeah, that's
difficult. Okay. Yeah. Now I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you half a story. Whoever ever heard this from me, I love this story. So I've said this before, but I want someone who didn't hear it to come up with the answer. In old time Yerushalayim, in the time of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, they lived in the old city, the Jews. They didn't have a hospital. They didn't have a hospital. They collected money and they bought a big piece of land right outside of Shar Shechem to build a hospital. And they collected all the money and they came to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld and they asked him, can you please give us a bracha? Before we build this hospital, we need a bracha. And he gave them a bracha, which was just the opposite of a bracha in this week's parsha. Just the opposite. So this is a two-part answer. What's the bracha given in this week's parsha? And what was the opposite that he said? You can figure out what the opposite was. And what the opposite meant, why it was a bracha. How could an opposite be a bracha, opposite of bracha be a bracha? You know it?
Yeah.
You figured it out?
The bracha is that the Shekhinah should rest in the Mishkan, and the Shekhinah only rests by sick people. But if there's no sick people in the hospital,
the
Shekhinah shouldn't rest there.
Wow.
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 That's not fair.
Wow.
It was the same.
Wow.
I thought
we'd
do this after
share. Wow. Yeah, me too. Me too. I let him do it because there was no way he was going to do it.
Oh my God. Top 10 on the golf going
back to all time. Crazy. Whoa. That's not bad. So his bracha was he wrote his shalom to his Shekhinah. Oh, wow.
How the Kobe back from the
hospital? There is. What he said was, there's one bracha in this week's parsha. After Moshe finished building the... After Moshe finished building the Mishkan, Moshe gave her a bracha. Yiratzon shetishka shechina b'mayitzi yadeichem. That the shechina should rest in the work of your hands. When they came to for the bracha in the hospital, he said, Yiratzon shelo tishka shechina b'mayitzi yadeichem. That the Shekhinah shouldn't rest in the hands. What did he mean? Because it says the Shekhinah sits on the bed, on the head, by the head of every sick person. So he said, you're building a hospital, there shouldn't be a Shekhinah there. So what was he saying?
There should be sick people.
Right.
Wow.
That's what he said.
MVP. Harsh MVP.
Yeah, that's, yeah, like, I think we retire his number. Retiring his number. Let's go on. Let's go on. There's a Musa question that by Musa talk about. So you can answer this question Musa whatever you want. So much Musa. I just tell you the question that the by Musa deal with in the parasha. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Moshe was upset that he didn't build anything in the Mishkan. Moshe didn't build anything. So Hashem said, okay, you will set up the Mishkan. I won't let anyone else do it. You said Moshe didn't build any of the Kalim. Moshe didn't do anything. It was all, so Moshe didn't do anything. So Hashem said, okay, you could build the Mishkan itself because you didn't build anything. You didn't do anything. And the question about Moshe say that, who's more important, the bricklayer or the architect? What?
Architect.
Who's more important, the bricklayer or the overseer, the guy with the hard hat and the clipboard, you know? It's always like that. Moshe, the Gemara says Moshe oversaw every single thing they did. Moshe said, this is good, this is not good. Wrong size, right side. Moshe did everything. It says Moshe spent his whole day. Moshe was Moshe Nefesh, day and night. He didn't sleep because so much stuff was being made for the Mishkan that he had to oversee everything. Suddenly Moshe says, hey, I didn't do anything. What does that mean? You understand how much Moshe goes into that? What? I think it's Lamed Tes, Lamed Gimel also. Hananya, are you up?
Yeah.
You understand the question?
Yeah.
Can you answer it Moshe wise?
Probably.
Later you'll tell me. Okay? Leitzanus. Now, the Gemara talks about Leitzanus, how bad Leitzanus is, how bad Leitzanus is bad. Leitzanus doesn't mean a joke. Doesn't mean a joke. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda started off each shear with the milsa de bichusa. Rabbi Yehuda started off each shear he gave with some jokes, let the guys laugh, and then started off, And so, Leitzanus is not a joke. Leitzanus is making fun of something that's kadosh, something that's important. Leitzanus is more like apokorsis than Leitzanus. As I told you last week, when it says Sheshes Yam Tasa Melacha, and people say, oh, look, a pus against Lakewood. That's Leitzanus. A pus against Kadosh guys. That's Leitzanus. You're taking something Kedusha and you make Leitzanus out of it. In this week's Parsha, it's the biggest Leitzanus. The biggest Leitzanus there was. The beginning of the Parsha, the first pasuk of the Parsha, what was Moshe doing? Ere Pekudei, what was Moshe doing? What was he doing? Ere Pekudei, what was Moshe doing? What? Moshe became an accountant. What's the accountant, when the accountants do like the inventory and everything, what's that called? Johnny, what's it called?
Audit,
that's what's called, audit. Moshe did an audit. Johnny, you don't know that? Moshe did an audit. Moshe, some reason in 1 minute, Moshe became a CPA, and Moshe did an audit. And Moshe gives us the whole audit. In fact, the Medrash, why did Moshe have to give an audit? The Medrash says, usually when you have a company, you have something, and you have to do an audit, it's because you don't trust them. You don't trust them, you have to do an audit. The IRS doesn't trust them, you have to do an audit. I don't trust my workers, I do an audit. Moshe was the most trusted person in the whole world. Called basically Nemanhu. Moshe was uncorruptible. Why did Moshe decide, oh, I have to make an audit? So the Medrash says, the Medrash puts it in the Pasuk, that it says that when Moshe walked from his tent to the Ohel Moed, Moshe had a fat neck, and Moshe's backside was a little big, okay? And people would say, ah, Moshe's rich. He's eating steaks, look at him. He gained a little weight there. Moshe gained a little weight there. Suddenly he got all this money, he's eating steaks. And then the other person says, well, of course, he collected all this money from the Mishkan. But sonus. That's Leitzanus. What were they implying? Now you can't imply Moshe stole. Everyone knew Moshe didn't stole. Everyone knew he didn't steal. It was Leitzanus. It was a joke. It was a joke. By the way, the Jews were so rich, it was unbelievable. What does it say in the Gemara? After the Yom Suf, every Jew had how many camels, how many chamorim full of jewels? I think every Jew had 70 or 90 chamorim full of jewels. I mean, every Jew was rich as anything. There was one poor Jew in all of Klal Yisrael. One poor one. What was his name?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. Why was he poor? He didn't collect the money. What was he doing?
Yosef
Bones. He was collecting bones. Moshe was the only one. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Moshe to be the only poor Jew there. So Hashem said, Psalacha. What the Medrash says, what is Psalacha? Carve out new luchos. Hashem gave him luchos, which were the most expensive materials in the whole world. And Hashem said, you carve out the luchos, and when you carve, psolas falls out. What's psolas?
Leftovers.
You could keep that. After Moshe made the luchos, he became the richest Jew there was. So everyone, they knew Moshe was the poorest Jew. Now he's eating all these steaks. They knew something was wrong. But what should have they said? Hey, Hashem must have dropped down some money from the sky into Moshe. They made litzanis. Making litzanis of a Rebbe is the worst thing a person could do. If there's no Rebbe, there's nothing. There's no Rebbe, there's no Mesorah. There's no Mesorah, there's no Judaism. The first thing all the Apokorsim do in the Gemara and everything is make fun of Rabbanim. The Tzedukim. You always find the Tzedukim in the Gemara making fun of Rabbanim. You always find Apokorsim making fun of Rabbanim. That's the worst of the sonnets that could happen. You know, most of you, I don't know if you hear it, but you ever come out of a shul on Shabbos, a big shul, and what are people talking about? How stupid the rabbi's speech was, right? Or how long the rabbi's speech was, he put us to sleep. You know, how long, I can't talk to you now, sorry. How long and boring the rabbi's speech was, and then you get from that to, oh, the rabbi did this, the rabbi did this. Outside the show, the main talk was with Sonnis and the rabbi. Without the rabbi, there's nothing. Nothing. There's nothing happening to you without the rabbi. Have to make very careful about with Sonnis, about any rebellion, about anyone you have to look up to. Be careful about with Sonnis. In the beginning of the parasha, it says Eile B'kuya Mishkan, Mishkan Eidus. It says Mishkan twice. Zok Rashi, Mishkan HaMishkan, Shnei Pamim, twice. Ramaz L'Migdash Nismashkin B'Shnei Churbanim Al Avonoseim Shal Yisrael. It's a remez to the two Mishkanos that were destroyed. What's it talking about? The two Beis HaMikdash that were destroyed, that are, Mishkan means, is the same word as Mashkon. They're a Mashkon.
Collateral.
Now, what does it mean the Beis HaMikdash was collateral? What does it mean the Beis HaMikdash was collateral? What does that mean? Now, usually you know collateral from one side. Collateral from one side. I borrow money from you, right? I give you collateral. That's called a mashkin. That's not the mashkin that we're talking about here. That's not the mashkin. There's another type of mashkin. For example, in the old days, or still in the Hasidic world, or even now, I just got a phone call about mashkin. Just now, I got a phone call about the mashkin. You know, now when two people make a deal, they made a deal, my daughter will make your daughter, and the chasna will be this date, and we'll get, they made a tnayim, right? What did it say in the tnayim? What did it say in the tnayim? What?
If they don't show up.
Yeah, if they don't show up, everything. But what did they do? They gave a mashkon. Usually it was something that both people needed. And that was held in Mashkon, that we both have to do what we have to do, or else the Mashkan, no one's get the Mashkan. We'll both lose. So it was a Mashkan somehow that they both needed. And that's what they did. That's what it was. That's what type of Mashkan it is. A two-sided Mashkan. Two-sided Mashkan. Each person, each side is chayev, and each side is worried about losing the Mashkan. That was the Beis HaMikdash. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a deal with us, right? Hashem made a deal with us. And to be good, right? To be good. To keep the Torah and everything, we had a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem took away the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was taken as a Mashkan. Two Beis HaMikdash were taken as a Mashkan. That means when it's taken as a Mashkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it, and we want it. Everyone wants the Mashkan to be back. Everyone wants the Mashkan to be back. But both sides have to come through. Both sides have to come through. Or else the Mashkan doesn't come back. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it to come back. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm coming through. I am coming through. I'm coming through. We have a problem. A Mashkan is only a Mashkan if I care about it. If I care about it. For example, let's say I make this Tanayim, and, you know, Tanayim is usually a big Mashkan. It was $1,000. It was $1,000. It was a big thing. Let's say I win the lottery, and I win $100 million. Do I care about the $1,000? No. Will I care about this Mashkan? No. That's the same thing that happened to us. We have so much that we don't care about this Mashkan anymore. Do you guys ever think about this pasuk? Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's a Mashkan that's waiting for us to redeem, and it's not being redeemed? Hey, I want to redeem the Mashkan. I want to redeem the Mashkan. Nah, I'm a millionaire now. I don't have to redeem the Mashkan. I live in America. I got everything I want. What do I need the Mashkan for? I got everything I want. Oh, I live in Kew Gardens Hills, and I bought a $2 million house, and I built a $2 million house. Why should I want the Mashkan? Why should I want to move to Israel? That's our problem today. As the Chafetz Chaim said, as much as we want Mashiach to come, whoever wants Mashiach to come, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Mashiach to come much more than us. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Mashiach. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to get rid of the Mashkan. We have to want to redeem the Mashkan. And that's our problem. I'll never forget the day I was sitting in Hafter, 12th grade, and I said to the shir, do you guys want Mashiach to come? You really want Mashiach to come? And one guy raised his hand and says, Rebbe, I really want Mashiach to come. But after the Super Bowl, I'm a Jet fan. Maybe the Jets will be in the Super Bowl. Mashiach will come, but I want to see the season, the Jets. Or this year, I want Mashiach to come. But I want to see how Scherzer is going to do on the Mets. Okay? Okay, Johnny? You know, I don't want you to take away my Mets season. Do we really want Mashiach to come? You know, what? Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, our season was taken away from us. Yeah, yeah. But do we really want Mashiach to come? I look at Frappish, I look at the neighborhood I live in, and people are building $2-3 million houses. I say to myself, do they really want Mashiach to come? Do they really want Mashiach to come? I'm not talking about you, okay? Do they really want Mashiach to come? I can't believe it. If you want Mashiach to come, you're not spending $3 million on a house. You're not. When my son graduated college, what? My oldest son graduated college. He told me, Abba, I want to be a lawyer. So I said, please don't be a lawyer. Be a doctor. Be a psychologist. Be maybe an accountant. But a lawyer? He says, Abba, what's wrong with being a lawyer? I said, anyone who goes to law school is saying, I don't want Mashiach to come. Why? Because if Mashiach comes tomorrow, what laws are we going to have? Torah laws. The law you learned the whole time It's going to be meaningless. So by saying, I'm going to law school, I want to be a lawyer, you're saying, I don't want Mashiach to come. If you want to be a doctor, yeah, we'll need doctors after Mashiach. If you want to be a psychologist, I can imagine after Mashiach comes, people will still be depressed. But it was the best, you know? You want to be an accountant? I can imagine. People want to count their money after Mashiach comes. But a lawyer, now, don't take what I'm saying as Torah Sinai. You're not in that because you want to become a lawyer. The world doesn't really work like that. But it bothers me that no one thinks about that. Hey, if I want to be a lawyer, I'm really saying I don't want Mashiach to come. You know, and it's very hard to understand. I hope I didn't hurt somebody's feelings here. Mashiach is going to law school. No. You know, you're a steer of Menei Ube. Mashiach, I'm Mashiach. A steer of Menei Ube. What?
Is he
Mr. Rambi?
Who? Is he Mr. Rambi? We're both trying to get
involved. Really? Oh, don't tell Izzy about this. Okay? But, you know, you got to realize, you want the Mashkon. You want Mashiach to come. The Brisker Rav, he lived in Europe, and he had a first Rabbanist before Brisk, and it didn't work out for him. So he moved, and he was in the Chavetz Chaim's house, and a delegation from the city of Brisk came and asked him to be Rav. He said, no, I don't want to be a Rav. And suddenly one of the people said, the delegation said, Brisker Rav, well, not Brisker Rav, he was called the Slutsker Rav. Slutsker Rav, 25,000 people are standing at the gate of the city waiting for you right now. He said, 25,000 people are waiting for me? He just put on his hat, his jacket, and ran as fast as he can. 25,000 people are waiting for him. And he ran right to Chavetz Chaim's house. And Chavetz Chaim told the people, you see, if you have 25,000 people waiting for you, he will come. He says, can you imagine, just let's have hundreds of thousands of people waiting for Mashiach. He's going to come running here. He's going to put his hat and jacket and come running. You got to really wait for Mashiach. Mashiach will come because he wants to come very badly. If there's a lot of people waiting for him, he will come, Mashiach. Okay? You build it, he will come. Everyone have a good Shabbos.